Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
There's a drive toward right center on the run. Suzuki makes the running catch. Seiya reaching up. That ball was hit very hard, ticketed for the gap. Suzuki made a running backhand shoulder catch. Shoulder high on the dead run. Not a routine play.
Outfield shading Freeman the other way toward left. Here's the pitch by Wicks. A swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with the fastball. Two away. The 2-1. High fly ball into deep right field. Suzuki going back. He looks up. It bangs off the wall. Ohtani scores. Now coming in and scoring Hernandez. Muncy has to stay at first. That was a rocket off the wall, but a two-run single, and the Dodgers extend the lead. It's now 3-0 LA over the Cubs here in the fifth.
Phillips always works from the stretch. Big, strong right-hander ready in the 2-2. Happ swings and misses, and the ball game is over. Sharp slider got him. Happ strikes out. Dodgers win. Cubs' five-game winning streak comes to an end. The final today, the Los Angeles Dodgers 4 and the Chicago Cubs 1.
Hard hit by Melendez, deep to center field. Out of the park, and that is gone. Looked like it went off the glove of Fletcher. A two-run home run by MJ Melendez. And it's Kansas City with a 2-0 lead. There's a ground ball to short. This could be it. And the Royals with a 3-0 win. They have won this best of four series. They've won the first three games.
Well, tonight, once again, the offense just didn't show up. They got superlative pitching. Michael Wacha was outstanding. The bullpen did a good job. And unfortunately, it was tough and tight up until that three-run inning, and the Royals off to a good start. They're 5-4, and the Sox still looking for some offense.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, 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 hello. It is Sunday morning. It is baseball time on your radio right here on 670 The Score. I am indeed your host, Matt Spiegel. And here we are on Hit and Run, getting ready to talk baseball, not just at you, but with you. Because your calls, your texts, your input is not merely welcome. It is elemental to the very completion of the radio broadcast. As we broadcast to you live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, here in our unique two-team town. And oh boy, do we have a different set of circumstances, a different batch of vibes, a different realm of possibilities for the baseball season for the two teams in our town. Goodness. Here's what's going on in the show today as we get you ready for Cubs-Dodgers at 12:45. That'll be pregame. That means we're on for an extra 45 minutes, a little bonus Hit and Run after the noon hour. We are going to talk Cubs, we're going to talk White Sox, and we'll do it with guests. Our friend Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago and the White Sox Talk podcast will join us in 1 hour, And that'll set the template for some White Sox conversation in that hour. Your phone calls, of course, welcome. And especially then at 312-644-6767, all throughout the 10 after we talk to Guff. Before then, we're hoping to have a conversation with the Cubs closer, Adbert Alzolay, who's been on this show before and is frankly an absolute delight. As a personality, just he's fun. He's passionate. I mean, if anybody follows Adbert on social media, you know this and you have seen this. We have talked to others about him. And I myself have become, frankly, smitten with whatever he's doing there after he seals a win. If it's that, it's like a half uppercut with a scream followed by a shake of the fist as he shakes his fist at the baseball gods having defeated them. I believe that's what's happening. That's my interpretation. Anyway,
the people's fist is what they call it.
They call it the people's fist?
The people's fist.
Oh, I like that. I didn't know it had a name. But I find myself thinking about great closer mechanics, things that closers do. It's actually pretty similar to Dennis Eckersley. If you look at old video of Eckersley, Eckersley does a little half uppercut and like I don't know if he does the fist shake. I doubt that Adbert got that from Eck. Is it Tiger Woods he's channeling? I don't know. Like these are the questions. These are some of the questions. Hopefully we'll talk to Adbert about it. And then later on, the play-by-play broadcaster for the absolute behemoth Los Angeles Dodgers, Joe Davis, who is also the voice of the All-Star Game and of the ALCS and the World Series for Fox TV. He's at the top of Broadcast Mountain right now, is Joe Davis. And we will talk to him at 11:25. He's a very good dude. He was on my podcast last year, the PBP for Play-by-Play, Voices of Baseball. If you like baseball play-by-play, find the podcast. Episode 1 of Season 2 just dropped this past week. We'll play you a little bit of that. Brian Anderson, the great broadcaster for TBS and the Brewers, and also does college hoops, of course, and NBA. But Brian Anderson, you'll hear a little bit later an incredible story from Cubs and Cardinals playoffs back in 2015. Anyway, so those guests along the way, your phone calls and your texts certainly welcome, and we will talk about the teams in a matter of moments. A reminder that we've got a Chicago sports doubleheader on the score today. First, it's Cubs-Dodgers pregame at 12:45. Then it's the Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. As a reminder, you can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. So, look, the White Sox are uniquely terrible. 13 runs in 8 games. 8 runs less than the second worst offense in baseball, which has 21 runs. They have the fewest hits. They have the fewest walks. They're awful as an offense. And now we shudder to think about the watchability as it plummets for the White Sox as Luis Robert is out for a while. We have to talk about them. I want to talk about them. We will talk about them. You'll hear Pedro Grifol with something strange from last night. He's pretty dependable for something strange. But at this point, let us start instead with absolutely electric baseball atmosphere on the north side. Because the Dodgers, man, coming in with, you know, 3 essential Hall of Famers. What do they call it? Hall of Fame corner? You know, with Mookie and Shohei and Freeman. And then, like, Will Smith and Muncie and all of those hitters. It's ridiculous. And then the stuff. How about the stuff from Bobby Miller on Friday, who then fell apart, which was fascinating. And then the stuff from Yamamoto yesterday. It is an outrageous juggernaut of baseball skills on that team. And we've known this. We've known what they are. And so when they come to town, as the Cubs are playing well, the excitement is vast. And then the sun comes out and cooperates. We had sun on Friday and sun yesterday. And yesterday there were 41,000 people and 40 in attendance. 41,040. And I heard I heard Ron Coomer say that was the most in 5 years at Wrigley Field. Most since 2019. That means it was a day where every possible bleacher attendee was there. Just packed. People packed on top of each other. And it was a day where standing room tickets were sold by the hundreds and hundreds. It was a day where the Pat Hughes sweater giveaway was, I am told by our friend Brian Garza, who is the king of ticketing among many other things and works with the season ticket holders and all the promotions over there at Wrigley. Brian Garza told me that it was on the level with some of the most popular bobbleheads that the Cubs have ever given away. That was the demand for the Pat Hughes sweater. People lined up very early in the morning to make sure they were in good spots in line to get the item. That is a very, very hot item, the Pat Hughes sweater. And Pat looked damn good singing the stretch. So this series feels enormous, and it should, because it could be a playoff preview. The NLCS in 2016 and 2017 was Cubs and Dodgers. Why not do it again here in 2024? These Cubs are good. Have you noticed? You have the fever? Unsolicited texts from friends yesterday declaring their Cubs fever, declaring their joy and their excitement. Going into yesterday, it had been 5 wins in a row after 2 losses to start the season in Texas. And you can see a few different things that are really, really good, can't you? Let's open the phone lines, Sean, and like just tell people if they're calling, like when we can get to them. I want them to know, because I love that we get to take phone calls in the wide open setting here. And we do have a few guests along the way, but if you want to hold, we'll definitely get you in surrounding the guests, or our associate producer will let you know when you can call back if you'd rather do it that way. But the Cubs are 3rd in on-base percentage in MLB. They're 5th in OPS. As of today, after yesterday, they have the best walk rate in MLB and the 5th best strikeout rate in MLB. This offense has been rebuilt and reshaped with Justin Stone's vision as the director of hitting, Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins. And remember when when Theo Epstein pivoted and said our offense is broken. Something broke with our offense. And then they realized something was broken in development. And they went out and they redid stuff. I happened to click on 2021 today as I was looking at the strikeout rate and the walk rate. Because it's, I mean, up until before yesterday, Cubs were best in baseball at strikeout rate, best in baseball at walk rate. Okay? But as I was looking, I clicked on 2021. They were dead last in strikeout rate in 2021 at 26%. They struck out more than any team in baseball in that, you know, that final year of like the true window. You could argue 2022, they had lost a piece or two and then it kind of slowly fell apart and you knew it was happening. And then they dealt everybody at the deadline. But 21, man, hopes were still high. Dead last in K rate as an offense, 19th in walk rate. The offense has been remade, and now that offense is something, isn't it? Ian Happ totally doing what he should as a leadoff hitter, taking walks, taking lots of pitches. And when he does get the A swing off, especially left-handed, and that's the only time he's hitting leadoff, he's raking. Seiya Suzuki is absolutely on fire. We'll talk about him later on. Talk about the exit velocity and just how hard the ball is getting hit off the bat of Seiya. Cody Bellinger showing you the bat control, showing you the just tremendous, tremendous ability to slow down the swing, take something off of it, go the other way if need be. And then Christopher Morel hitting the ball hard when he hits it. Yesterday, dominated by Yamamoto, because that dude's curveball is something special, isn't it? So look, there's a lot to like about this Cubs team right now, and maybe principally is the manager. I'm sure you're getting a feel for Craig Counsell, and maybe you're taking in pregame or postgame, or you're looking at in-game moves, and yesterday, I know you could be upset with Jordan Wicks going out after 100 pitches and Jose Kwas coming in and failing. But that's on Kwas. I understood taking Wicks out right there after 100 pitches, after he'd gotten the lefties. Could they have given him one more batter and gotten him through? Maybe. And look, managers are going to do things that drive you crazy. And if you're upset with counsel about that, fine. But zoom out. If you haven't had a chance to zoom out, zoom out. There was a manager win this week in terms of the opener. I thoroughly believe the way that they played that against Colorado with Luke Little as the opener, getting a chance to work back-to-back, and then Ben Brown coming in for his Wrigley debut. It wasn't a start. It was instead a bulk appearance, coming in with a soft landing after the first three hitters, two of which were lefty, had been taken care of by Little. And then Brown works four innings plus and looks awesome with the confidence flowing. None of the jitters of the MLB debut that you might have seen for him down in Texas were evident here in a very important outing. Their first start of Justin Steele's spot in the rotation. Absolutely masterful usage, in my opinion, of the opener. And I can tell you for a fact, and I think this is important, the previous manager, not a huge fan of the opener, and that's okay. Some people are not. Organization was and wanted to do it, and they did. You remember last year, Michael Fulmer as an opener, twice used ahead of Drew Smyly as the bulk guy. Some within the organization didn't love it. Some in the clubhouse didn't love it. Now you've got a guy who not only loves it, he kind of started it. The Tampa Rays get the credit for the opener because they hit spring of 2018 with that as a weaponized strategy. Here we go. We're short on starters. Why don't we game the system a little bit with a bullpen game one time every time through, and anytime we need it, we'll do it this way. And so they did. But go back and look at 2017. When the Brewers, the 2017 Brewers, were down a couple of starters. And in the second half of that year, Council kept the Brewers in it by utilizing bullpen games. He was using the opener, even though they didn't really necessarily call it that until the Rays called it that. They kind of took it from Council at the back half of 2017. So knowing full well all spring that that's in your back pocket, sure, he talked about it. Obviously with bosses, but with players too. Ben Brown knew how he was going to be used. He knew exactly what that was, and it wasn't something new that got sprung on him that day. It was talked about earlier in the week, I'm sure, when he came up and you're in the pen. Yeah, well, you know, we might use you as a, you know, to get a few innings. Just get outs. Just be my out getter. I'd be surprised if it wasn't talked about with Luke Little and Ben Brown and others during the spring. So just knowing that and having the bigger picture available and at hand is so, so key. So look, these Cubs are good. I picked him to win the division. It still looks that way to me. And today is going to be a really good and exciting day over there because we've seen Yamamoto yesterday. Shohei homered. Suzuki has been raking. And today is Shota's day. I need a little help from the associate producer here because it was so cool when Shota came out at his press conference and in English talked to the media, learned a bunch of English. We decided to learn some Japanese. And by learn some Japanese, I mean let Google Translate learn some Japanese. So I want to thank my son, who's learning Japanese on Duolingo these days, and hung out with me a little pregame and used on Google Translate. I'll go first here, Ruben. It's baseball time. Oh, it's not working. It's not working on my end.
Do you have technical difficulties?
Yeah, I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
Thank you for noticing. How about yours? Does yours work? Hold on. Don't hit it yet.
Okay.
What is this? This is what Shota said in English. We're saying it back for him in Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win today. Hope yours works.
You want me to play it?
Yep.
Oi, Chicago. 今日はカブスが勝つつもりだと何て言う?
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Worked like a champ.
Chicago. What do you say? Cubs are gonna win today.
Sing the damn song. Sing the damn song.
Yes.
All right, one more time in Shota's native Japanese.
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah.
Oi,
Chicago, 今日はカブスが勝つつもりだと何て言う?
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine work.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. The associate producer is here. And
Kid's
he's around.
Got a future, man, I'll tell you.
I don't know.
I need an extra five today.
Wants an extra $5. I haven't seen your boss. Your boss said he's coming by, but I haven't seen him yet.
Maybe.
Well.
We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, usually he'll text and say, can you pay the employee? Can you pay the employee and I'll pay you back?
Oh.
So I'll let you know if I get that text. But otherwise, you might be working for free. Okay? Look,
what?
I got you Doritos. You'll have Doritos later on.
Yeah, eat your Doritos. Come on.
Not yet. 9:20 Doritos is not something
I
approve of.
I wasn't privy to the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sean, I'm sorry. Sean, if you want Doritos, I'll get you some too.
That's really nice of you. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. We'll send the associate producer upstairs.
That's so nice of you guys.
All right, it's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Hoping for Adbert Alzolay on the show, but let's open the phone lines in case we don't have that. And we'll talk Cubs this hour. A lot of White Sox next hour with Ryan McGuffey, and we'll live in the misery that is the White Sox. I'll just tell you this much, okay? I'll tell you that one of my good friends came up with a slogan that he thinks is fitting for the White Sox as of right now, okay? And you might remember some of my slogans from before the year, because what they were telling us was that this was going to, you know, their fundamentals and culture and things like that. Losing cleaner was one of my...
That's a strong contender.
My phrase is right. I like losing cleaner. And now my friend says we should go with this. The 2024 Chicago White Sox. Every day is worse. Because you're bad, and then Luis Robert gets hurt, and then you lose 3-0 after that, and your manager's saying some crazy stuff. It's goodness. All right, I'm told we will have Adbert Alzolay in just a couple of minutes. So look, it's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. White Sox next hour, more Cubs this hour. Adbert Alzolay next on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel.
Go get it, baby.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Everybody's standing at Wrigley. Cubs one out away from their fifth consecutive win. The pitch. A swing and a line drive. Diving backhand catch by Bush at first. Cubs win the ball game. The former Dodger, Michael Bush, not only hits a home run, but for an encore, he makes a diving catch for the final out. And if he doesn't catch it, it almost certainly Ronnie would have tied this ball game.
That the final call from the win the other day. And that win finished off by our next guest, who joins us right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is the Cubs closer. He is Adbert Alzolay, who joins us right now on Hit and Run. Adbert, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing good. Just getting to work right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's first? What's first today when you get to work? What's the first thing you do other than talk to annoying radio people like me?
Well, I get to the locker room, make sure I say good morning to every teammate is already in the locker room, and they make sure everyone is doing good in the morning. I like to, you know, like ask everyone how they're doing and making sure they're fine, and then go have my breakfast and start my preparation for the day.
Well, let's start right there. So you like to check in with every teammate, make sure you guys have a moment and connect in the morning, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Craig Counsell called you a connector, and I've been in a lot of clubhouses and around baseball for a while. Albert, like, people like you are very important to a team, like to make sure there are no clicks and to help, with your English being so good, to help like different groups stay connected and stay communicating. You take pride in that role?
Yeah, I do. I just feel like as a player, sometimes like we just like to just get in our own world, like so many thoughts going through our head and stuff. And sometimes like I just feel like you need that guy that is there for you. You know, that is gonna make sure everything is going good for you and give you that, you know, like that let's go by right away in the morning. So I just like to make sure all the boys are seeing and I'm ready to play.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's important on a radio show too. Like if I see my co-host or like a producer who's not feeling good or something, you got to go and check in and
yeah,
try.
You have to.
You have to because you need them to be good, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. So I was reading about this graduation ceremony that took place in Mesa. These young players graduating. You know what I'm talking about? Can you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell the listeners about it. Tell people what that is. Would you?
A lot of us, when we come from the Dominican or Venezuela or, like, from any country in South America, like, when you come out here, you're 17 years old, 17, 18 years old. You need that English class. You need to, like, really go to class and pay attention to start learning the new language, because it's, like, I tell every kid that comes here, it's really important for us to learn how to speak the language, because, like, we're playing here, right? So I'm like, sometimes you can be in able and, like, yeah, there is a lot of coaches that speak Spanish and stuff, but then sometimes you go to AA or AAA, because I was in that position, and then you were, like, the only Latin guy, or, like, you only have two Latin guys there, and then every other person is American, and I'm like, in a game situation, if you don't know what they're telling you to do when the pitching coach goes out there to a pitching visit and everyone speak English, but you don't know what to do, then, like, you're not going to be, like, all in the game, because you don't know what is going on. You're not understanding what play is being made or anything. So, like, for me, just seeing, like, a bunch of kids, they were, like, 18, just seeing them sitting there, it just took me back to when I was in that position in 2015. I remember that, like, just being sitting in the same seat, I'm like, okay, feeling proud of myself, because, okay, I can dominate the language now. I can communicate with people better. I can make a conversation, everything. Like, and also, I can help another people. Like, you know, like, you get lost in the airport. Like, if you go to Atlanta, for example, and you don't know, like, that you got to take a train and you don't know how to read where to go, and then I have heard cases where these players have been lost in the airport for, like, 2 days. Because, like, they don't know how to communicate. So, like, that's something that it makes me really proud when I see, like, a bunch of kids just, like, interacting with the American players. I'm like, you know, like, trying to speak the language. And I'm like, you can't be afraid to speak the language. I'm like, yeah, we're going to make mistakes because it's not our first language. But that's why we have teammates for. Like, they're going to come at you and they're going to help you. Like, okay, this is the right pronunciation. This is the way you can you can write it. This is the way you can pronounce it, you know, because I had it with Justin Steele. I had it with PJ Higgins. So I feel like just hanging out with them was what made my English get so much better. So I just feel really, really proud. Gave a really good speech to the kids because it really touched me that day. You're seeing them there sitting.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, wow, just took me back to when I was their age and I was in the same position.
That's so cool, man. Abbott, seriously, it's like sports is one of those things that brings people together because you have to. And it's like, I mean, Loosedale, Mississippi fastball, Justin Steele, and and young Adbert Alzolay being pals, you know, that might not happen without baseball, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we always talk about it and stuff. It's just so crazy how two guys from different worlds just got together and we create this really good relationship. Like, even in the big leagues, we live in the same building. I'm like, we just like spending time together.
That's so cool. With that in mind, we're talking to Adbert Alzolay on Hit and Run. We got to go back to October because we talked to Nico Horner a lot on my show during the week, me and Danny Parkins, and we had Nico on and we had seen the pictures from the fishing trip with Justin Steele. Uh-huh. Yeah, so so here's Nico. Here's me asking Nico about you being on the trip because you looked awesome in the pictures.
Wow. Oh, my God. I love that Adbert was there. His energy.
Oh, my God.
His energy must have been awesome on the boat with you guys.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, we could have Yeah, he was amazing. A great. You can't. I mean, you're reeling and you're getting tired, but Abbott's yelling in your ear, and there's no way you can stop. So it's like
the Energizer Bunny of the fishing trip.
He kept saying, like, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound." Like
he put the qualifier in there.
All right, the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound. Like,
Is that true, Abbott? The most amazing thing you ever experienced, not on a mound?
I mean, it's like, that was the only other time that I felt my adrenaline felt that high besides closing for the Chicago Cubs. That's all I can say. I'm like, I never felt this adrenaline rush in my life until I saw that I had a fish that was 147 pounds hooked on the reel, and I was like, oh my God, like it just felt like, okay, I'm throwing the ninth inning right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm picturing, Adbert, you like in your 40s and your 50s, you're retired after a long baseball career, and now you're leading fishing trips. You know, you're taking young players or family out on fishing trips on a big boat. Why not? Right?
Yeah. I mean, we said it. We're going to make it like a yearly thing. Like we started last year, and we're just going to keep it doing it, because it's just, I mean, it's amazing. Like, you get to be with your friends during the off season for a whole weekend, you know, like you being apart from each other for like 2 months or stuff like that, a month, and then you just catching up, and then just knowing that it's free time, like you can just have fun with your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Adbert, you finishing a game has become one of the most fun things to watch in Chicago baseball. I need to ask you about, it's like a, what are you doing? It's you're punching the air. Is it a boxing? Is it, what do they call it? Sean, what'd you say? The people's fist, they call it?
The people's fist.
The people's fist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's a huge community that's enjoying what you're doing. Please describe what is happening in that moment when the game is over and there's a yell and there's a punch of sorts.
I mean, it's just like, I just feel like it's just such an adrenaline moment at the time. But, like, you got to keep yourself calm through the evening. I'm like, I'm always being a really, like, energetic guy. And I feel like just being able to, like, control my emotions through the whole evening, being calm, like, feel like being present there is huge. And then when you finally, like, see that the last out is coming, like, your team wins. Like, you're turning the ball back to the manager, like, it just brings my adrenaline through the roof, and I feel like I did it the first time out of nowhere. Like, it just came along, and then from that day on, the guys loved it. So I just kept doing it. Everyone loved it. So I'm like, it's just like adrenaline release for me. I feel so fired up.
Yeah. Are you screaming? I can't hear. I mean, the mouth is open. It looks like you're screaming. Are you?
Yeah, I'm screaming.
Sometimes
I lose my voice with it.
What's the scream? Give me a little version of the scream, would you? Let it fly.
He's like, let's go, but it gets funny.
All right, it's tough to recreate at 9:40 in the morning. You know what I mean?
You need that adrenaline rush. Like, it's really hard to try to do it. It just comes along with it.
Yeah. Well, maybe after today. Hey, how fun is it to watch Yamamoto pitch yesterday? But actually, let me ask you about Shota instead. Let me ask you about your teammate, Shota Imanaga, who's going today. That dude, like, he's striking a pose on the mound sometimes. He's, like, twirling after a strikeout. He's entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, I told Seiya, and I even told Darvish, I'm like, hey, this is my favorite Japanese player so far. I'm like, I just love his passion. I feel like I really, like, you know, I wanted to make sure he felt that he belonged here from the beginning, like, just because, you know, like, this game is about confidence. In the big leagues, like, you can have all the stuff you want, but if your confidence is not there, like, the other team can see that, oh, this guy doesn't have confidence on him, like, so they can pick that on you. So just making sure, like, he felt like he belonged here, like, he was involved in everything. If we were throwing a football, I would make sure he was there, like, you know, like, and then just, you know, motivating him. I'm like, this guy's nasty. Like, it's unreal, the stuff he has. Like, it's just, and it's not only that, it's just like, it's really good stuff with an amazing, like, notion of what he's doing. Like, he knows where he's moving. He knows the way, he knows how to pitch. Like, when something is not working, he asks a lot of questions. Like, it's just, like, it's just pretty much, like, it's like having two Kyles in the same team. Like, it's just crazy good, like, how smart this guy is and, like, how attentive he is to details and stuff. And then just seeing him, like, just feeling the crowd, like, he felt it his first outing here. Like, he felt the crowd, and then just seeing him, like, getting excited about it, expressing his emotions, that tells you the kind of player he is, you know? Like, and it's crazy because, like, you used to see this really good Japanese player just being quiet and stuff, but I just love the way he is. He's just different.
That's so cool. All right, last thing, Adbert. How are you feeling in terms of your stuff? Your slider, like, is it as sharp as you want it? I was reading there's not quite as many swings and misses as usually with you so far. Is it still coming along? Or how do you feel about it all?
I mean, it's just been a little cold, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. It's good to know.
Yeah, so it's just adapting to it, getting back to that routine. But I'm getting the outs with it, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Adbert, good luck. Just a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to watching Shota today. And hopefully we get the people's fist and a better scream than you gave us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Adbert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. That's Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Chicago Cubs. 312-644-6767 if you want to hop in and talk Cubs right now. Phone lines are open right now. And at the top of the hour, we'll go to Ryan McGuffey and talk some Sox. But hop on in to react to Adbert or anything else you like on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little, it's a feel thing on my part, you know, it's just noticing things kind of from across the way, I think Adbert is a great connector. I think he's really good at it, and he cares about it, he tries to do it, it's important to him.
It's Craig Counsell talking about Adbert Alzolay, who we just interviewed and spoke with here on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel. Top of the hour, talk to Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk podcast. And we have an update on Luis Robert in terms of a Bob Nightingale item, as reported in his USA Today column this morning. And Bob Nightingale reporting that the White Sox internally expect that prized center fielder Luis Robert Jr. could be out for months with his grade 2 hip flexor strain, another blow to an offense already without DH Eloy Jimenez. The White Sox will explore the market for reinforcements with free agent outfielder Tommy Pham still available and perhaps an ideal fit. Tommy Pham can still hit. He hit for the Diamondbacks down the stretch and in the playoffs last year. Surprised he's a free agent, but such is life for your early to mid-30s hitters in MLB. But months for Luis Robert is the private expectations, according to Bob Nightingale. Woof. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour. First, though, some phone calls about the Cubs, who are fun and interesting. And this is Mike on 670 The Score. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
It's enjoyable to talk to Ruben. He's taking calls. That's pretty fun.
He's on the case, man. If anything goes wrong with him, callers, you let me know.
He's doing a fine job. I'm curious to know what you think of Counsell's value in terms of wins to this team. He seems to be so calm and insightful. And I think that he has that in common with some of the other leaders on the team, like Happ and Horner and Yan Gomes, Bellinger.
Mm-hmm.
These guys seem to all have that very calm, steady, insightful, focused personality. And traditionally, a manager is worth, I think most experts say, 3 to 4 wins. I have a feeling Council might be worth way more than that. And I just want to get your idea of what do you think he's worth to this roster?
Impossible to fully quantify, especially on the front end, but I'm sure as hell tracking it during the year. And I mentioned it in segment one. I talked about it this week with Danny. I wrote down that opener win, that Rockies win, as a manager win. I gave it to him. So, like, look, there's going to be all different times where, like, little things work, little things don't work, and it's about more than that. It's about concepts that become comfortable. So when you actually do them, everybody knows you believe in it and that you're confident it's going to work, and your calm confidence translates to the players and maybe makes them play better. It's incredibly difficult to count and check out. But I said this before the year, I've never been more interested to watch a manager's effect. Never. Because this Cubs team was good last year. They were their underlying metrics, like win differential and Pythagorean win loss and stuff like that, meant they should have been better than 83 wins. Should have been better. But they weren't. Why? Fell apart in September? Yes. Some weird organizational choices at the beginning of the year last year? Yes. Would a manager have affected those things, a different manager? Would they have? I don't think they would have broke camp with some of the weird roster choices they made at the beginning of the year that cost them a game or two. Are those manager wins if he's involved, you know, with the front office to a level that he's like, no, what are we doing? If Morel can hit, I need that bat. Let's find a spot for him instead of sending him down to AAA to play center field where he hits, what, 13 homers that don't get used for the big league level? You kidding me? I highly doubt that Council would have allowed him to go away just because they couldn't figure out a spot. He'd say, no, let's figure out a spot. Those kind of things. So we'll track it during the course of the year. I got one so far, but it's always going to be a little more abstract and amorphous to really think about. Is this Sean in Romeoville on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning?
Yes, sir, it is. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. What's up? Sean, it's not a football conversation. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do.
It's not, but
yes, sir.
Before I make my – this is my first – you got me giggling, man. This is my first baseball call, but I will throw a side shot at you really quick.
Please.
Did the Dodgers start improving quite a bit once Magic got on the scene? Magic Johnson.
In part of that ownership group, yes. Are you going to credit Magic for the Dodgers' resurgence here?
No. I'm saying if I were Caleb Williams, I'd want to go anywhere Magic is. There you go. That's my shot. By the way, man, I could listen to you read a phone book, man. You got that Morgan Freeman narrate quality.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, this is kind of a light call.
Yo.
Obviously, we know the Sox are abysmal. Mm-hmm. And I see what I saw last year. You know, either the bats can't heat up in tight games, or when they score runs, the bullpen can't hold leads. And I'm seeing this, you know, similar injuries as to last year. So this is where I'm being kind of like, because I want to invest my time watching quality, professional, and fun baseball, is it okay to just switch to the north side, considering it's still a Chicago team, mm-hmm. so I can really enjoy baseball? I want to enjoy it. I mean, it's 3 hours of my life, and I want to enjoy it. I don't want to sit down and watch a game when I already know the outcome. I mean, when you sit down and watch these guys, you already know what the outcome is going to be.
Oh, man.
You know what the outcome is going to be. So can I switch? I told you it's kind of a light call. Switch just so I can enjoy quality and professional baseball? Have a great day, man. I'll definitely start listening to this show a little bit more. You're awesome.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you. Man, I do believe that you are welcome to do anything like that. It happens historically. We thought it would happen as the Cubs were fading from their window and the White Sox were entering theirs. You know, there were some people getting ready to jump. Hell, some broadcasters jumped. You know what I mean? But I love Len Casper, and he loves being on the radio. So, you know, but just in general, is it okay to switch? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And you don't have to like make it an official switch either and like declare and sign over your fandom. There is no cease and desist. There's no legalese that has to be signed. You don't need anything notarized
just if you want to watch a good team, man, watch a good team. And I would recommend you watch a good team. Absolutely. I'd also recommend that you watch a good manager and a really good broadcast team. You know, it's like, yeah, that's going to be a very enjoyable thing a lot of times. I mean, if your heart still says White Sox, there are things to watch, but the list is dwindling, man. The list is dwindling. I'll go over it with Guff in the next segment. Like, there's with Luis Robert out maybe for a couple of months, the list is dwindling. But, look, I'm of the mind that it's always been okay to watch both and enjoy both. You know, I don't go so far as the hat, you know, the Ray Rayner hat, with Cubs on the front and Sox on the back. I won't go that far, but goodness. I mean, if you're interested in baseball and you want to watch good baseball, yeah, man. So far it seems like you're one for two in terms of your options. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. Let's talk Sox and find out what's watchable, find out what's hopeful, if anything. Next with Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk podcast. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Here's a drive toward right center on the run. Suzuki makes the running catch. Seiya reaching up. That ball was hit very hard, ticketed for the gap. Suzuki made a running backhand shoulder catch. Shoulder high on the dead run. Not a routine play.
Outfield shading Freeman the other way toward left. Here's the pitch by Wicks. A swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with the fastball. Two away. The 2-1. High fly ball into deep right field. Suzuki going back. He looks up. It bangs off the wall. Ohtani scores. Now coming in and scoring Hernandez. Muncy has to stay at first. That was a rocket off the wall, but a two-run single, and the Dodgers extend the lead. It's now 3-0 LA over the Cubs here in the fifth.
Phillips always works from the stretch. Big, strong right-hander ready in the 2-2. Happ swings and misses, and the ball game is over. Sharp slider got him. Happ strikes out. Dodgers win. Cubs' five-game winning streak comes to an end. The final today, the Los Angeles Dodgers 4 and the Chicago Cubs 1.
Hard hit by Melendez, deep to center field. Out of the park, and that is gone. Looked like it went off the glove of Fletcher. A two-run home run by MJ Melendez. And it's Kansas City with a 2-0 lead. There's a ground ball to short. This could be it. And the Royals with a 3-0 win. They have won this best of four series. They've won the first three games.
Well, tonight, once again, the offense just didn't show up. They got superlative pitching. Michael Walker was outstanding. The bullpen did a good job, and unfortunately, it was tough and tight up until that three-run inning, and the Royals off to a good start. They're 5-4, and the Sox still looking for some offense.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, 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 hello. It is Sunday morning. It is baseball time on your radio right here on 670 The Score. I am indeed your host, Matt Spiegel. And here we are on Hit and Run, getting ready to talk baseball, not just at you, but with you. Because your calls, your texts, your input is not merely welcome. It is elemental to the very completion of the radio broadcast. As we broadcast to you live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, here in our unique two-team town. And oh boy, do we have a different set of circumstances, a different batch of vibes, a different realm of possibilities for the baseball season for the two teams in our town. Goodness. Here's what's going on in the show today as we get you ready for Cubs-Dodgers at 12:45. That'll be pregame. That means we're on for an extra 45 minutes, a little bonus Hit and Run after the noon hour. We are going to talk Cubs, we're going to talk White Sox, and we'll do it with guests. Our friend Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago and the White Sox Talk podcast will join us in 1 hour, and that'll set the template for some White Sox conversation in that hour. Your phone calls, of course, welcome, and especially then at 312-644-6767, all throughout the 10 after we talk to Guff. Before then, we're hoping to have a conversation with the Cubs closer, Adbert Alzolay, who's been on this show before, and is frankly an absolute delight as a personality. Just, he's fun. He's passionate. I mean, if anybody follows Adbert on social media, you know this and you have seen this. We have talked to others about him. And I myself have become, frankly, smitten with whatever he's doing there after he seals a win. If it's that, it's like a half uppercut with a scream, followed by a shake of the fist as he shakes his fist at the baseball gods, having defeated them. I believe that's what's happening. That's my interpretation. Anyway,
the people's fist is what they call it.
They call it the people's fist?
The people's fist.
Oh, I like that. I didn't know it had a name. But I find myself thinking about great closer mechanics, things that closers do. It's actually pretty similar to Dennis Eckersley. If you look at old video of Eckersley, Eckersley does a little half uppercut, and I don't know if he does the fist shake. I doubt that Adbert got that from Eck. Is it Tiger Woods he's channeling? I don't know. These are the questions. These are some of the questions. Hopefully we'll talk to Adbert about it. And then later on, the play-by-play broadcaster for the absolute behemoth Los Angeles Dodgers, Joe Davis, who is also the voice of the All-Star Game and of the ALCS and the World Series for Fox TV. He's at the top of Broadcast Mountain right now, is Joe Davis, and we will talk to him at 11:25. He's a very good dude. He was on my podcast last year, the PBP, for Play-by-Play, Voices of Baseball. If you like baseball play-by-play, find the podcast. Episode 1 of Season 2 just dropped this past week. We'll play you a little bit of that. Brian Anderson, the great broadcaster for TBS and the Brewers, and also does college hoops, of course, and NBA. But Brian Anderson, you'll hear a little bit later, an incredible story from Cubs and Cardinals playoffs back in 2015. Anyway, so those guests along the way, your phone calls and your texts, certainly welcome. And we will talk about the teams in a matter of moments. A reminder that we've got a Chicago Sports doubleheader on the Score today. First, it's Cubs-Dodgers pregame at 12:45. Then it's the Bulls taking on the Magic with tip-off at 5. As a reminder, you can listen to every Cubs and every Bulls game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. So, look, the White Sox are uniquely terrible. 13 runs in 8 games, 8 runs less than the second worst offense in baseball, which has 21 runs. They have the fewest hits, they have the fewest walks. They're awful as an offense. And now we shudder to think about the watchability as it plummets for the White Sox as Luis Robert is out for a while. We have to talk about them. I want to talk about them. We will talk about them. You'll hear Pedro Grifol with something strange from last night. He's pretty dependable for something strange. But at this point, let us start instead with absolutely electric baseball atmosphere on the north side. Because the Dodgers, man, coming in with, you know, 3 essential Hall of Famers. What do they call it? Hall of Fame corner? You know, it's with Mookie and Shohei and Freeman, and then like Will Smith and Muncy and all of those hitters. It's ridiculous. And then the stuff, how about the stuff from Bobby Miller on Friday, who then fell apart, which was fascinating. And then the stuff from Yamamoto yesterday. It is an outrageous juggernaut of baseball skills on that team. And we've known this. We've known what they are. And so when they come to town, as the Cubs are playing well, the excitement is vast. And then the sun comes out and cooperates. We had sun on Friday and sun yesterday. And yesterday there were 41,000 people and 40 in attendance. 41,040. And I heard Ron Coomer say that was the most in 5 years at Wrigley Field. Most since 2019. That means it was a day where every possible bleacher attendee was there. Just packed. People packed on top of each other. And it was a day where standing room tickets were sold by the hundreds and hundreds. It was a day where the Pat Hughes sweater giveaway was, I am told by our friend Brian Garza, who is the king of ticketing among many other things and works with the season ticket holders and all the promotions over there at Wrigley. Brian Garza told me that it was on the level with some of the most popular bobbleheads that the Cubs have ever given away. That was the demand for the Pat Hughes sweater. People lined up very early in the morning to make sure they were in good spots in line to get the item. That is a very, very hot item, the Pat Hughes sweater. And Pat looked damn good singing the stretch. So this series feels enormous, and it should, because it could be a playoff preview. The NLCS in 2016 and 2017 was Cubs and Dodgers. Why not do it again here in 2024? These Cubs are good. Have you noticed? You have the fever? Unsolicited texts from friends yesterday declaring their Cubs fever, declaring their joy and their excitement. Going into yesterday, it had been 5 wins in a row after 2 losses to start the season in Texas. And you can see a few different things that are really, really good, can't you? Let's open the phone lines, Sean, and like just tell people if they're calling, like when we can get to them. I want them to know, because I love that we get to take phone calls in the wide open setting here. And we do have a few guests along the way, but if you want to hold, we'll definitely get you in surrounding the guests, or our associate producer will let you know when you can call back if you'd rather do it that way. But the Cubs are 3rd in on-base percentage in MLB. They're 5th in OPS. As of today, after yesterday, they have the best walk rate in MLB and the 5th best strikeout rate in MLB. This offense has been rebuilt and reshaped with Justin Stone's vision as the director of hitting, Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins. And remember when Theo Epstein pivoted and said, our offense is broken. Something broke with our offense. And then they realized something was broken in development. And they went out and they redid stuff. I happened to click on 2021 today as I was looking at the strikeout rate and the walk rate. Because up until before yesterday, Cubs were best in baseball at strikeout rate, best in baseball at walk rate. Okay? But as I was looking, I clicked on 2021. They were dead last in strikeout rate in 2021 at 26%. They struck out more than any team in baseball in that, you know, that final year of like the true window, you could argue. 2022, they had lost a piece or two, and then it kind of slowly fell apart and you knew it was happening, and then they dealt everybody at the deadline. But 21, man, hopes were still high. Dead last in K rate as an offense, 19th in walk rate. The offense has been remade, and now that offense is something, isn't it? Ian Happ totally doing what he should as a leadoff hitter, taking walks, taking lots of pitches. And when he does get the A swing off, especially left-handed, and that's the only time he's hitting leadoff,
He's raking. Seiya Suzuki is absolutely on fire. We'll talk about him later on. We'll talk about the exit velocity and just how hard the ball is getting hit off the bat of Seiya. Cody Bellinger showing you the bat control, showing you the just tremendous, tremendous ability to slow down the swing, take something off of it, go the other way if need be. And then Christopher Morel hitting the ball hard when he hits it. Yesterday, dominated by Yamamoto, because that dude's curveball is something special, isn't it? So look, there's a lot to like about this Cubs team right now, and maybe principally is the manager. I'm sure you're getting a feel for Craig Counsell, and maybe you're taking in pregame or postgame, or you're looking at in-game moves. And yesterday, I know you could be upset with Jordan Wicks going out after 100 pitches and Jose Kwas coming in and failing. But that's on Kwas. I understood taking Wicks out right there after 100 pitches after he had gotten the lefties. Could they have given him one more batter and gotten him through? Maybe. And look, managers are going to do things that drive you crazy. And if you're upset with Counsell about that, fine. But zoom out. If you haven't had a chance to zoom out, zoom out. There was a manager win this week in terms of the opener. I thoroughly believe the way that they played that against Colorado with Luke Little as the opener, getting a chance to work back-to-back, and then Ben Brown coming in for his Wrigley debut. It wasn't a start. It was instead a bulk appearance, coming in with a soft landing after the first three hitters, two of which were lefty, had been taken care of by Little. And then Brown works four innings plus and looks awesome with the confidence flowing. None of the jitters of the MLB debut that you might have seen for him down in Texas were evident here in a very important outing. Their first start of Justin Steele's spot in the rotation. Absolutely masterful usage, in my opinion, of the opener. And I can tell you for a fact, and I think this is important, the previous manager, not a huge fan of the opener, and that's okay. Some people are not. Organization was and wanted to do it, and they did. You remember last year, Michael Fulmer as an opener, twice used ahead of Drew Smyly as the bulk guy. Some within the organization didn't love it. Some in the clubhouse didn't love it. Now you've got a guy who not only loves it, he kind of started it. The Tampa Rays get the credit for the opener because they hit spring of 2018 with that as a weaponized strategy. Here we go. We're short on starters. Why don't we game the system a little bit with a bullpen game one time every time through, and anytime we need it, we'll do it this way. And so they did. But go back and look at 2017. When the Brewers, the 2017 Brewers, were down a couple of starters, and in the second half of that year, Counsell kept the Brewers in it by utilizing bullpen games. He was using the opener, even though they didn't really necessarily call it that until the Rays called it that. They kind of took it from Counsell at the back half of 2017. So knowing full well all spring that that's in your back pocket, sure, he talked about it. Obviously with bosses, but with players too. Ben Brown knew how he was going to be used. He knew exactly what that was, and it wasn't something new that got sprung on him that day. It was talked about earlier in the week, I'm sure, when he came up and you're in the pen. Yeah, well, you know, we might use you as a, you know, to get a few innings. Just get outs. Just be my out getter. I'd be surprised if it wasn't talked about with Luke Little and Ben Brown and others during the spring. So just knowing that and having the bigger picture available and at hand is so, so key. So look, these Cubs are good. I picked him to win the division. It still looks that way to me. And today is going to be a really good and exciting day over there because we've seen Yamamoto yesterday. Shohei homered. Suzuki has been raking. And today is Shota's day. I need a little help from the associate producer here because it was so cool when Shota came out at his press conference and in English talked to the media, learned a bunch of English. We decided to learn some Japanese. And by learn some Japanese, I mean let Google Translate learn some Japanese. So I want to thank my son, who's learning Japanese on Duolingo these days.
and hung out with me a little pregame and used on Google Translate. I'll go first here, Ruben. This is It's Baseball Time. Oh, it's not working. It's not working on my end.
Do you have technical difficulties?
Yeah, I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
Thank you for noticing. How about yours? Does yours work? Hold on. Don't hit it yet.
Okay.
What is this? This is what Shota said in English. We're saying it back for him in Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win today. Hope yours works.
You want me to play it?
Yep.
Oi, Chicago. 今日は Cubs が勝つつもりだと何て言う?
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Worked like a champ.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are going to win today.
Sing. Sing the damn song. Sing the damn song.
Yes.
All right, one more time in Shota's native Japanese.
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah.
Oi. Chicago, 今日はカブスが勝つつもりだと何て言う?
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine work.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. The associate producer is here. And
he's
around.
Got a future, man, I tell you.
I don't know.
I need an extra $5 today.
Wants an extra $5. I haven't seen your boss. Your boss said he's coming by, but I haven't seen him yet.
Maybe.
Well.
We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, usually he'll text and say, "Can you pay the employee? Can you pay the employee, and I'll pay you back."
Oh.
So I'll let you know if I get that text. But otherwise, you might be working for free. Okay. Look,
what?
I got you Doritos. You'll have Doritos later on.
Yeah. Eat your Doritos. Come on.
Not yet. 9:20 Doritos is not. It's not something I approve of.
I wasn't privy to the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sean, I'm sorry. Sean, if you want Doritos, I'll get you some too.
That's really nice of you. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. We'll send the associate producer upstairs.
That's so nice, you guys.
All right. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Hoping for Adbert Alzolay on the show, but let's open the phone lines in case we don't have that. And we'll talk Cubs this hour. A lot of White Sox next hour with Ryan McGuffey, and we'll live in the misery that is the White Sox. I'll just tell you this much, okay? I'll tell you that one of my good friends came up with a slogan that he thinks is fitting for the White Sox as of right now, okay? And you might remember some of my slogans from before the year, because what they were telling us was that this was going to, you know, their fundamentals and culture and things like that. Losing cleaner was one of my... Was one of my
a strong contender.
My phrase is right. I like losing cleaner. And now my friend says we should go with this. The 2024 Chicago White Sox. Every day is worse. Because you're bad, and then Luis Robert gets hurt, and then you lose 3-0 after that, and your manager's saying some crazy stuff. It's goodness. All right, I'm told we will have Adbert Alzolay in just a couple of minutes. So look, it's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. White Sox next hour, more Cubs this hour. Adbert Alzolay next on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel.
Go get it, baby.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Everybody standing at Wrigley. Cubs one out away from their fifth consecutive win. The pitch. A swing and a line drive. Diving backhand catch by Bush at first. Cubs win the ball game. The former Dodger, Michael Bush, not only hits a home run, but for an encore, he makes a diving catch for the final out. And if he doesn't catch it, it almost certainly Ronnie would have tied this ball game.
That the final call from the win the other day. And that win finished off by our next guest, who joins us right now on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is the Cubs closer. He is Adbert Alzolay, who joins us right now on Hit and Run. Adbert, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing good. Doing good. Just getting to work right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's first? What's first today when you get to work? What's the first thing you do other than talk to annoying radio people like me?
Well, I get to the locker room, make sure I say good morning to every teammate is already in the locker room, and they just, you know, make sure everyone is doing good in the morning. I like to, you know, like ask everyone how they're doing and making sure they're fine, and then go have my breakfast and start my preparation for the day.
Well, let's start right there. So you like to check in with every teammate, make sure you guys have a moment and connect in the morning, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Craig Counsell called you a connector. And I've been, you know, I've been in a lot of clubhouses and around baseball for a while. Abbott, like, people like you are very important to a team, like, to make sure there are no clicks and to help, you know, with your English being so good, to help, like, different groups stay connected and stay communicating. You take pride in that role?
Yeah, I do. I just feel like as a player sometimes, like, we just like to just get in our own world, like, so many thoughts going through our head and stuff. And sometimes, like, I just feel like you need that guy that is, he's there for you, you know, that is going to make sure everything is going good for you and give you that, you know, like, that let's go by right away in the morning. So I just like to make sure all the boys are seeing and I'm ready to play.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's important on a radio show, too. Like, if I see my co-host or, like, a producer who's not feeling good or something, you got to go and check in and
yeah,
try.
You have to.
You have to, because you need them to be good, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. So I was reading about this graduation ceremony that took place in Mesa, these young players graduating. You know what I'm talking about? Tell the listeners about it? Tell people what that is, would you?
A lot of us, when we come from the Dominican or Venezuela or, like, for any country in South America, like, when you come out here, you're 17 years old, 17, 18 years old. You need that English class. You need to, like, really go to class and pay attention to start learning the new language, because it's, like, I tell every kid that comes here, it's really important for us to learn how to speak the language, because, like, we're playing here, right? So I'm like, sometimes you can be in able and, like, yeah, there is a lot of coaches that speak Spanish and stuff, but then sometimes you go to AA or AAA, because I was in that position, and then you were, like, the only Latin guy, or, like, you only have two Latin guys there, and then every other person is American. And I'm like, in a game situation, if you don't know what they're telling you to do when the pitching coach goes out there to a pitching visit and everyone speak English, but you don't know what to do, then, like, you're not going to be, like, all in the game, because you don't know what's going on. You're not understanding what play is being made or anything. So, like, for me, just seeing, like, a bunch of kids, they were, like, 18, just seeing them sitting there, it just took me back to when I was in that position in 2015. I remember that, like, just being sitting in the same seat, I'm like, okay, feeling proud of myself, because, okay, I can dominate the language now. I can communicate with people better. I can make a conversation, everything. Like, and also, I can help another people. I guess, you know, like, you get lost in the airport. Like, if you go to Atlanta, for example, and you don't know, like, that you got to take a train and you don't know how to read where to go, and then I have heard cases where these players have been lost in the airport for, like, 2 days. Because, like, they don't know how to communicate. So, like, that's something that
it makes me
really proud when I see, like, a bunch of kids just, like, interacting with the American players. I'm like, you know, like, trying to speak the language. And I'm like, you can't be afraid to speak the language. I'm like, yeah, we're going to make mistakes because it's not our first language. But that's why we have teammates for. Like, they're going to come at you and they're going to help you. Like, okay, this is the right pronunciation. This is the way you can... You can write it. This is the way you can pronounce it, you know, because I had it with Justin Steele. I had it with PJ Higgins. So I feel like just hanging out with them was what made my English get so much better. So I just felt really, really proud, gave a really good speech to the kids, because it really touched me that day. You're seeing them there sitting.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, wow, just took me back to when I was their age and I was in the same position.
That's so cool, man. Abbott, seriously, it's like sports is one of those things that brings people together, because you have to. And it's like, I mean, Luce Dale, Mississippi fastball, Justin Steele, and and young Adbert Alzolay being pals, you know, that might not happen without baseball, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we always talk about it and stuff. It's just so crazy how two guys from different worlds just got together and we create this really good relationship. Like, even in the big leagues, we live in the same building. I'm like, we just we just like spending time together.
That's so cool. With that in mind, we're talking to Albert Azulay on Hit and Run. We got to go back to October because we talked to Nico Horner a lot on my show during the week, me and Danny Parkins. And we had Nico on, and we had seen the pictures from the fishing trip with Justin Steele. So here's Nico. Here's me asking Nico about you being on the trip because you looked awesome in the pictures.
Wow. Oh, my God. I love that Adbert was there. His energy.
Oh, my God.
His energy must have been awesome on the boat.
Yeah,
with you guys.
Unbelievable. I mean, we could have. Yeah, he was amazing. A great. You can't. I mean, you're reeling and you're getting tired, but Albert's yelling in your ear, and there's no way you can stop. So it's like
the Energizer Bunny of the fishing trip.
He kept saying, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound." Like
he put the qualifier in there.
All right, the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound. Like,
is that true, Albert? The most amazing thing you ever experienced, not on a mound?
I mean, it's like that was the only other time that I felt my adrenaline felt that high besides closing for the Chicago Cubs. That's all I can say. I'm like, I never felt this adrenaline rush in my life until I saw that I had a fish that was 147 pounds hooked on the reel, and I was like, oh my God, like it just felt like, okay, I'm throwing the ninth inning right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm picturing, Albert, you like in your 40s and your 50s, you're retired after a long baseball career, and now you're leading fishing trips. You know, you're taking young players or family out on fishing trips on a big boat. Why not? Right?
Yeah. I mean, we said it. We're going to make it like a yearly thing. Like we started last year, and we're just going to keep it doing it because it's just, I mean, it's amazing. Like you get to be with your friends during the off season for a whole weekend, you know, like you've been apart from each other for like 2 months or stuff like that, a month, and then you're just catching up, and then just knowing that it's free time, like you can just have fun with your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Albert, you finishing a game has become one of the most fun things to watch in Chicago baseball. I need to ask you about, it's like a, what are you doing? It's you're punching the air. Is it a boxing? Is it, what do they call it? Sean, what'd you say? The people's fist, they call it?
The people's fist.
The people's fist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's a huge community that's enjoying what you're doing. Please describe what is happening in that moment when the game is over and there's a yell and there's a punch of sorts.
I mean, it's just like, I just feel like it's just such an adrenaline moment at the time. But, like, you got to keep yourself calm through the evening. I'm like, I'm always being a really, like, energetic guy. And I feel like just being able to, like, control my emotions through the whole evening, being calm, like, feel like being present there is huge. And then when you finally, like, see that the last hour is coming, like, your team wins. Like, you're turning the ball back to the manager, like, it just brings my adrenaline through the roof, and I feel like I did it the first time out of nowhere. Like it just came along, and then from that day on, the guys loved it. So I just kept doing it. Everyone loved it. So I'm like, it's just like adrenaline release for me. I feel so fired up.
Yeah. Are you screaming? I can't hear. I mean, the mouth is open. It looks like you're screaming. Are you?
Yeah, I'm screaming.
What's the
sometimes I lose my voice with it.
What's the scream? Give me a little version of the scream, would you? Let it fly.
He's like, let's go, but it gets funny.
All right, it's tough to recreate at 9:40 in the morning. You know what I mean?
You need that adrenaline rush. Like it's really hard to try to do it. It just comes along with it.
Yeah. Well, maybe after today. Hey, how fun is it to watch Yamamoto pitch yesterday? But actually, let me ask you about Shota instead. Let me ask you about your teammate Shota Imanaga, who's going today. That dude, like, he's striking a pose on the mound sometimes. He's like twirling after a strikeout. He's entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, I told Seiya, and I even told Darvish, I'm like, hey, this is my favorite Japanese player so far. I'm like, I just love his passion. I feel like I really, like, you know, I wanted to make sure he felt that he belonged here from the beginning, like, just because, you know, like, this game is about confidence. In the big leagues, like, you can have all the stuff you want, but if your confidence is not there, like, the other team can see that, oh, this guy doesn't have confidence on him. Like, so they can pick that on you. So just making sure, like, he felt like he belonged here, like, he was involved in everything. If we were talking football, I would make sure he was there, like, you know, like, and then just, you know, motivating him. I'm like, this guy's nasty. Like, it's unreal, the stuff he has. Like, it's just, and it's not only that, it's just, like, it's really good stuff with an amazing, like, notion of what he's doing. Like, he knows where he's moving. He knows the way, he knows how to pitch. Like, when something is not working, he asks a lot of questions. Like, it's just, like, it's just pretty much, like, it's like having two Kyles in the same team. Like, it's just crazy good, like, how smart this guy is, and, like, how attentive he is to details and stuff. And then you're seeing him, like, just feeling the crowd. Like, he felt that his first outing here, like, he felt the crowd, and then you're seeing him, like, getting excited about it, expressing his emotions. That tells you the kind of player he is, you know? Like, and it's crazy because, like, you used to see this really good Japanese player just being quiet and stuff, but I just love the way he is. He's just different.
That's so cool. All right, last thing, Adbert. How are you feeling in terms of your stuff? Your slider, like, is it as sharp as you want it? I was reading there's not quite as many swings and misses as usually with you so far. Is it still coming along, or how do you feel about it all?
I mean, it's just being a little cold, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So, it's good to know.
So it's just adapting to it, getting back to that routine. But I'm getting the outs with it, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Adbert, good luck. Just a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to watching Shota today. And hopefully we get the people's fist and a better scream than you gave us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Adbert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. That's Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Chicago Cubs. 312-644-6767 if you want to hop in and talk Cubs right now. Phone lines are open right now. And at the top of the hour, we'll go to Ryan McGuffey and talk some Sox, but hop on in to react to Adbert or anything else you like on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a feel thing on my part, you know, it's just noticing things kind of from across the way, I think Adbert is a great connector. He's really good at it, and he cares about it. He tries to do it. That's important to him.
It's Craig Counsell talking about Adbert Alzolay, who we just interviewed and spoke with here on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel. Top of the hour, talk to Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk podcast, and we have an update on Luis Robert in terms of a Bob Nightingale item, as reported in his USA Today column this morning. And Bob Nightingale reporting that the White Sox internally expect that prized center fielder Luis Robert Jr. could be out for months with his grade 2 hip flexor strain, another blow to an offense already without DH Eloy Jimenez. The White Sox will explore the market for reinforcements, with free agent outfielder Tommy Pham still available and perhaps an ideal fit. Tommy Pham can still hit. He hit for the Diamondbacks down the stretch and in the playoffs last year. Surprised he's a free agent, but such is life for your early to mid-30s hitters in MLB. But months for Luis Robert is the private expectations, according to Bob Nightingale. Woof. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour. First, though, some phone calls about the Cubs, who are fun and interesting. And this is Mike on 670 The Score. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
It's enjoyable to talk to Ruben. He's taking calls. That's pretty fun.
He's on the case, man. If anything goes wrong with him, callers, you let me know.
He's doing a fine job. I'm curious to know what you think of Council's value in terms of wins to this team. He seems to be so calm and insightful, and I think that he has that in common with some of the other leaders on the team, like Happ and Horner and Jan Gomes, Bellinger. Mm-hmm. These guys seem to all have that very calm, steady, insightful, focused personality. And traditionally, a manager is worth, I think most experts say, 3 to 4 wins. I have a feeling Council might be worth way more than that. And I just want to get your idea of what do you think he's worth to this roster?
Impossible to fully quantify, especially on the front end, but I'm sure as hell tracking it during the year. And I mentioned it in segment one. I talked about it this week with Danny. I wrote down that opener win, that Rockies win, as a manager win. I gave it to him. So, like, look, there's going to be all different times where, like, little things work, little things don't work, and it's about more than that. It's about concepts that become comfortable. So when you actually do them, everybody knows you believe in it and that you're confident it's going to work, and your calm confidence translates to the players and maybe makes them play better. It's incredibly difficult to count and check out. But I said this before the year, I've never been more interested to watch a manager's effect. Never. Because this Cubs team was good last year. They were their underlying metrics, like win differential and Pythagorean win loss and stuff like that, meant they should have been better than 83 wins. Should have been better, but they weren't. Why? Fell apart in September? Yes. Some weird organizational choices at the beginning of the year last year? Yes. Would a manager have affected those things? A different manager? Would they have? I don't think they would have broke camp with some of the weird roster choices they made at the beginning of the year that cost them a game or two. Are those manager wins if he's involved, you know, with the front office to a level that he's like, no, what are we doing? If Morel can hit, I need that bat. Let's find a spot for him instead of sending him down to AAA to play center field where he hits, what, 13 homers that don't get used for the big league level? You kidding me? I highly doubt that Council would have allowed him to go away just because they couldn't figure out a spot. He'd say, no, let's figure out a spot. Those kind of things. So we'll track it during the course of the year. I got one so far, but it's always going to be a little more abstract and amorphous to really think about. Is this Sean in Romeoville on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning?
Yes, sir, it is. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. What's up? Sean, it's not a football conversation. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do.
It's not, but
yes, sir.
Before I make my – this is my first – basically, you got me giggling, man. This is my first baseball call, but I will throw a side shot at you really quick.
Please.
Did the Dodgers start improving quite a bit once Magic got on the scene? Magic Johnson.
In part of that ownership group, yes. Are you going to credit Magic for the Dodgers' resurgence here?
No. I'm saying if I were Caleb Williams, I'd want to go anywhere Magic is. There you go. There's my little shot. by the way, man, I could listen to you read a phone book, man. You got that Morgan Freeman narrate quality.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, this is kind of a light call. Obviously, we know the Sox are abysmal. Mm-hmm. And I see what I saw last year. You know, either the bats can't heat up in tight games, or when they score runs, the bullpen can't hold leads. And I'm seeing this, you know, similar injuries as to last year. So this is where I'm being kind of like, because I want to invest my time watching quality, professional, and fun baseball, is it okay to just switch to the north side, considering it's still a Chicago team, mm-hmm. so I can really enjoy baseball? I want to enjoy it. I mean, it's 3 hours of my life, and I want to enjoy it. I don't want to sit down and watch a game when I already know the outcome. I mean, when you sit down and watch these guys, you already know what the outcome is going to be.
Oh, man.
You know what the outcome is going to be. So can I switch? I told you it's kind of a light call, but can I switch just so I can enjoy quality and professional baseball? Have a great day, man. I'll definitely start listening to this show a little bit more. You're awesome.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you. Man, I do believe that you are welcome to do anything like that. It happens historically. We thought it would happen as the Cubs were fading from their window and the White Sox were entering theirs. You know, there were some people getting ready to jump. Hell, some broadcasters jumped. You know what I mean? But And I love Len Casper, and he loves being on the radio. So, you know, but just in general, is it okay to switch? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And you don't have to, like, make it an official switch either and, like, declare and sign over your fandom. There is no cease and desist. There's no legalese that has to be signed. You don't need anything notarized. Just if you want to watch a good team, man, watch a good team. And I would recommend you watch a good team. Absolutely. I'd also recommend that you watch a good manager and a really good broadcast team. You know, it's like, yeah, that's going to be a very enjoyable thing a lot of times. I mean, if your heart still says White Sox, there are things to watch, but the list is dwindling, man. The list is dwindling. I'll go over it with Guff in the next segment. Like, there's with Luis Robert out maybe for a couple of months, the list is dwindling. But, look, I'm of the mind that it's always been okay to watch both and enjoy both. You know, I don't go so far as the hat, you know, the Ray Rayner hat with Cubs on the front and Sox on the back. I won't go that far, but goodness. I mean, if you're interested in baseball and you want to watch good baseball, yeah, man. So far, it seems like you're one for two in terms of your options. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. Let's talk Sox and find out what's watchable, find out what's hopeful, if anything. Next with Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk Podcast. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.